Response to specific questions. But now in the responses to her invitation for men to write out their problems, she and the staff were dealing with specific questions. What did she mean when she used such expressions as I, we, and us? Was not every word she wrote as inspired as the Ten Commandments? What did she mean when she declared in Battle Creek that she did not claim to be a prophetess? Why were there times that a message addressed to an individual was not sent? How could she, if she were a prophet, favor plans for the 1903 General Conference session to be held at Healdsburg and a little later favor plans for Oakland as the place for the session? What about the buildings in Chicago she saw in vision and condemned, when no such buildings had ever been erected? Because of her illness, she felt unable to take up the specific questions immediately on her return from Southern California. She asked for a little time to make a full recovery from the effects of the influenza. In the meantime, on May 26, she wrote a general statement touching on several basic points. This was published in the Review and Herald of July 26. It was titled The Messenger, and dealt with the question of claims to be a prophetess and the broad nature of her work. She also cited her experience in writing many books that the Lord by His Spirit had helped her to write. They contain light from heaven, she wrote, and will bear the test of investigation. Then on June 14, she wrote to Dr. David Paulson at Battle Creek, doubtless drawing on material that had been brought together by her helpers. Dear brother, your letter came to me while in Southern California. Now I must respond to the letters received from you, and others. In your letter, you speak of your early training to have implicit faith in the testimonies and say, I was led to conclude and most firmly believe that every word that you ever spoke in public or private, that every letter you wrote under any and all circumstances, was as inspired as the Ten Commandments. My brother, you have studied my writings diligently. He had in 1897 compiled the book Healthful Living, made up of quotations from the Ellen G. White writings, and you have never found that I have made any such claims. Neither will you find that the pioneers in our cause have made such claims. Then, citing her introduction to the Great Controversy, from which she quoted, and drawing statements from the testimonies, she provided an answer to his main question and then followed this with admonition. The next day she undertook to answer Dr. C. E. Stewart's question. I have received your letter, in which you inquire what is meant by the words I, we, us, and so on, in my testimonies. In my work, I am connected with my helpers, and I am also connected and in close touch with my instructor and other heavenly intelligences. Those who are called of God should be in touch with Him through the operation of His Holy Spirit, that they may be taught by Him. Of mine own self I can do nothing. I feel that all credit must be given to a higher power. I cannot always say I am not accustomed to doing so. Without the special light and grace of Christ, I can do nothing. Furthermore, I am connected with my workers. During the night season I am often deeply impressed with representations passing before me, and usually, whatever the hour of the night may be, I arise at once, and write out the instruction that has been given me. This manuscript is placed in the hands of one of my copyists, who makes several copies on the typewriter. Then it is returned to me, and I carefully read it over to see if it is all correct. Matter written for publication is sometimes sent direct to one of our periodicals, and sometimes laid aside with other matter to be published later in book form or in some other way. This is one reason why I often say we. My helpers and I are co-workers in sending out the light given me to be a blessing to the world. Read the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, she urged, and notice carefully how Paul uses the words I, we, and us.